Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about just bits and pieces of the highlights of the news, the media, and what's taking place in our nation today and in our cities and states, just the highlights of it. And we're calling it just bits and pieces across America with an open mic. Perhaps you have a question or a comment, something you'd like to jump in. As the old cliche, add your 2 cents worth. Could be something about theology, doctrine, what the Bible says, what it doesn't say. Or we could be talking about what generally is called politics, but as you've heard me say many times, God created the home, God created the government, then God created the church, and he did so in that order. So anything we discuss about the home, the family, society in general, anything we discuss about government or what's called politics or about the church and the body of Christ and what the church should be, all of those things are melded into one, as I see it, because it is the unity of the Bible throughout covering all of those subjects. But ladies and gentlemen, if we do not elect, and we're touching on it before the broadcast, top of the hour for the news break, if we do not re-elect President Donald J. Trump in November, we're going to watch the socialist Marxist Democrats and what they're going to do. In fact, if you think that somehow, some way, our freedoms in America, our religious liberties, will be protected if we put a socialist Marxist Democrat in, all you need to do, and I challenge you, go back and Google it. As President Bush said on one occasion, use the Google thing. Go back and Google House Bill 5, United States House of Representatives, House Bill 5. House Bill 5, better known as the Sodomite Embracing Bill, it's called the Equality Act, passed by 240 socialist Marxist Democrats in the House. It already had, I believe, something like 46 senators sign on in the U.S. Senate. If that bill ever sees light and it ever gets passed and it's ever signed by a president, it will destroy the church. It will persecute the church and prosecute the church as nothing else on the face of God's green earth has ever done. It, in fact, is a hate crime bill, making anything that's said by the Christian, anything that's promulgated by the church, anything that's preached and taught against the LGBTQ sodomite movement will be considered hate speech, and you'll be persecuted and prosecuted. Churches will be closed as never before. So I'm warning you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm simply wanting us to understand the dangers of listening to these so-called psychologists and others, Christians and others, just like the Christianity Today that wrote a castigating article about President Donald Trump, and in doing so basically trashed every Christian in America. It's no different than hearing Hillary Clinton calling us a basket full of deplorables, or some of the high-ranking FBI agents that said that he could smell the Trump voters in Walmart. It's no different than Barack Hussein Obama, the Islamic closet Islamic president that we had, Barack Hussein Obama, that said that Christians just wanted to hold on to their Bible, their guns, and their religion. And we're being demeaned, and there's an attempt to undermine and tear down and destroy the religious Christian vote for November of this year. We need to not wonder about the future of the Bill of Rights and our Second Amendment and First Amendment if President Trump is not reelected, ladies and gentlemen. Christian persecution and religious liberties should cause every Christian, every congregation to vote. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, in 2016, 31 million Christians failed to vote. 31 million. Listen very carefully at some of the numbers that I've assimilated. 31 million Christians did not vote in 2016. But as of this minute in the United States of America, the best computation and the best research can be done is that we have approximately 30 million illegals and voters that have voted in the past and shall vote in tandem in November of this year, about 30 million. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if 31 million Christians did not vote and that same 31 million does not vote this year, and we have about 30 million illegals or illegal votes, those that are dead, those that vote in two counties, those that are illegal votes, they're simply all calling illegal votes. If that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to wonder what will happen to our constitutional republic. You won't have to wonder what will take place for religious liberties and freedom of speech. May I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, if we fail to vote, we fail to have a voice. And yet we'll be talking about in the days to come on this broadcast the constitutional amendments and the ballot initiatives and the things that's going to take place in relationship to this legislative session and what they're voting on. There's over 40 gun bills in Tallahassee as I speak, over 40. More than half of them, if passed, any of them that passes, more than half of them, it will literally restrict and or completely cancel the Second Amendment rights in the state of Florida. It will make the state of Virginia look like a child's party in relationship to what will take place. And yet we're solid about it. I don't hear any of our legislators saying anything about it. I don't hear anything about our conservative political leaders saying anything. In fact, I am told, as of some articles that I have read on the subject, that the president of the Senate in the state of Florida has already warned the Republicans not to vote for some of these highly controversial gun bills, because if they vote for them, some of the good gun bills, if they vote for them, they will not get reelected. So basically, the president of the Senate in Tallahassee is saying you got to go along to get along. You got to compromise. They're looking at it simply from the standpoint of being reelected and not looking at it from the standpoint of what's wise and what's right and what's honorable for the citizens in the state of Florida. So I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the precipice of the edge of the mountain, as you'd call it, and if we are not careful, we're going to go under as a nation, because this will be November election of this year will be the test for the preservation of the foundation of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, every Christian should make a renewed commitment to stand for the man that I believe God has so divinely intervened and placed into office to service as the president of the United States of America. I believe it was through his divine intervention that placed him there. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. And join in this dialogue and discussion. We're simply calling it Bits and Pieces from Across America. It's an open mic. You can feel free to jump in, put in your 2 cents worth. But ladies and gentlemen, we see Christian persecution as never before on a global basis. I have probably over 100 articles about Christian persecution on a global basis as I speak today. Time will not allow even to touch on, but just a few of them. But What I'm wanting us to understand is the nexus between having a constitutional republic or socialism, which is communism-like, and all of the wannabe socialist, Marxist, Democratic candidates for president. All of them have a portion of or totally a socialist, Marxist, communist agenda. Bernie Sanders is a communist running under the banner of socialism. That is a flowery, if you can use that term, glorified, embraceable, acceptable term for communism. It is still Marxism. And ladies and gentlemen, you check, Marxism is communism. But yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, that is the mantra out of the socialist, Marxist, Democrats today. And if any one of them were to have the potentiality of going in office, we would find an escalation that the world has never been seen before of the persecution of Christians right here in America. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Bozell and Graham. It's talking about Brent Bozell III and Tim Graham, operate an organization called Creators Syndicate. They say Christian persecution is real. The New York Times and other media could care less, however. The apathy shown by the pro-human rights media here is appalling. I'm reading a brief blurb from this article. They can pile on the news stories about Christian, about children getting separated from their parents or being put in a cage at the border as being unchristian, but not Christians being butchered in some corners of the world. They are out to destroy Christianity itself. Some national newspapers can tell us what's going on so long as it's not on the front pages. December the 28th, for example, New York Times ran a story headline, "Affiliate of ISIS in Nigeria releases video of executions," and reported that 11 were executed in revenge for America's taking out ISIS leader al-Baghdadi. The Times would not put the word Christian in the headlines. Why? A voiceover says the killings are a message for Christians that all of those killed were Christian. In other words, the video that showed the massacre, the newspaper did not report that the key was that all of those that were massacred were Christians. Further, the article says, speaking of Nigeria, the Wall Street Journal posted a commentary, said the new war against African Christians. It began as this: a slow-motion war is underway in Africa, most populous country. It's a massacre of Christians, massive in scale and horrific in brutality, and the world has hardly even noticed. In some corners of the world, they are out to destroy Christianity itself, the article says. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says 30 anti-Christian attacks in just 2 months. Germany suffered 30 anti-Christian attacks ranging from theft to arson over the past 2 months, according to the watchdog organization in Europe. The data was compiled by the Observatory of Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe, which documented 30 separate incidences. Germany has seen a large influx of Muslim migrants in recent years, many of whom believe that it is an insult to Allah to say Jesus is the Son of God, and that's in the Quran 19:35, and that Jesus died on the cross, which the Quran also denies in Surah 4:157. And that representations of the human form are temptations to idolatry. Further, Spencer says this, and it's Jihad Watch by Robert Spencer. Could it be possible that Muslim migrants are behind the epidemic of attacks on churches? Or would that be Islamophobic to even consider that as a fact? Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting us to understand as we do a little spot around the globe and across the nation, the bits and pieces of what's happening. Most Christians today have the philosophy and the feeling, most churches today, most denominations today have the philosophy and feeling that as believers, we just need to talk about Jesus, not be concerned about anything else. Ladies and gentlemen, I will agree with you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important subject that any human tongue can relate to and speak about. But that's not all the Bible has for us. As I've done many, many times, thousands of times down through the years, holding the Bible up from the pulpit and saying, why did God give us such a big book? If John 3:16 is all there is in it, why do we have such a big book called the Bible? It's because God would have the believer to be the watchman on the wall, warning of dangers ahead, dangers to come, and warning us as to what we need to do and giving insight and direction as to what God would have us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, China's new law, Christian persecution worst since Mao's Cultural Revolution. Friday night, I received an anguished phone call, this writer says, begging me to write about the state of the Christian church in China. The caller, whose name or location I cannot divulge for her protection, was an attorney in China who had worked within the Chinese court system. When she became a Christian, however, she realized that she could not compromise her faith and joined the officially atheistic Communist Party, as all judges are expected to do in China. She explained that three major house churches in her city were facing persecution. One was forced to register with the Chinese government and accept the heavy risk of surveillance. The other two, which refused to register, are no longer allowed to gather to worship at any time. They have been disbanded. She pleaded with me to write about the persecution of the house churches and Christians and the Christian persecution in China. It's a five-page article, ladies and gentlemen. It is heartbreaking to read what is taking place in China. But we have across the nation, across the globe, around the nation, ladies and gentlemen, more and more of the Christian persecution that is taking place. Here's an article that says, United Nations in the UK treating persecuted Christians as enemies. United Nations Refugee Agency appears to be committed to blocking persecuted Christians from receiving any assistance at all, according to the recent CBN News report. Christian Syrian refugees have been blocked from getting help from the United Nations Refugee Agency. One of the refugees saw Hans, a Syrian convert to Christianity, told us by phone that the Muslim United Nations camp officials, quote, knew that we were Muslims and became Christians, and they dealt with us with persecution and mockery. They didn't let us into the office. They ignored our request. He said he and his family are now in hiding, afraid that they will be arrested by the Jordanian police or even killed converting to Christianity is a serious crime in Jordan. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, one country's end game, elimination of all home churches. Elimination of all home churches. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad state of affairs when we're not saying anything about it as Americans. We're not looking at it and understanding the dangers of it. But this says, one country's end game, elimination of all home churches. China claims the existence of the state-controlled three-self churches demonstrates its tolerance of Christianity. But the communist government wants all other Christian congregations to simply disappear. Last month, the government launched a new campaign against house churches called Return to Zero. They are on the warpath in China today, ladies and gentlemen, to get to a zero number of house churches for Christians in the nation of China. This article says its goal is to dissolve any church not sponsored by the government who has targeted Christians in underground churches with threats of torture, persecution, torture, and death. Ladies and gentlemen, that should cause every Christian in America to look up, wake up, sit up, smell the coffee, and understand what we have in America, and we need to treasure it. We need to treasure the religious liberties, the freedom, the constitutional privileges that we have in our nation. And that should be enough for any Christian to recognize the dangers of voting for a socialist, Marxist, Democrat on any level, local, state, or national. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be the watchman on the wall. Yes, America now sees a major decline in Christianity. And at the same time, we witness the increase of anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-church behavior in our nation today. That's exactly what we're finding. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. It's about 30 pages. I'll not take the time to bore you with all of the statistical data. It's put out by the Pew Research Center. It says, in the U.S., the decline of Christianity continues at an alarming, rapid pace. The religious landscape in the United States of America continues to change at a rapid clip. The Pew Research Center conducted in last year, 28, it was a year's research, 2018 and 2019. Listen to these statistics. And it's just page after page of them. I'll just read you the highlighted blurbs. 65% of American adults describe themselves as Christians when asked about their religion, down 12% from just a decade ago. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated in America share the population consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, now stands at 26%, up from 17% in 2009. Both Protestant and Catholic are experiencing losses of population share. This is just a few of these. And meanwhile, as subsets of the religiously unaffiliated population, a group known as religious nuns, that is N-O-N-E-S, have seen their numbers swell. Self-described atheists now account for 4% of U.S. adults, up modestly but significantly from 2% in 2009. It's doubled in 10 years. Those that list as atheists. Agnostics make up 5% of the U.S. adults, up from 3% a decade ago. 17% of Americans now describe their religion as nothing in particular, up from 12% in 2009. Members of non-Christian religions also have grown up in share of the total population in America. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the isms and schisms, as I call it, you look at the non-Christian cults that are moving into America and growing at a rapid pace, when you look at the decline of all denominations in number. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. As the old cliche goes, I think we've done it to ourselves. I understand that the scripture says very clearly that there will become, that we are living in the days of apostasy. That's the falling away. But every mainline denomination today, including, ladies and gentlemen, Southern Baptist, every mainline denomination today, in some form, some fashion, some degree, have embraced the LGBTQ agenda, the sodomite agenda. Methodist being the latest, where they are going to vote to divide the Methodist denomination in May of this year. and it's over the LGBTQ agenda, where they've talked about, they've prayed about, they've had committees about, they've done studies about what they need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand what a Christian denomination ought to do when it comes to the sodomite agenda. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand God's word says it's sin. God's word says that he destroyed two cities as a result of sodomy. God's word says that that's a sin, that's an abomination in the nostrils of God. God's word says in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32, that God has given them over to a reprobate mind. And yet denomination after denomination fighting over what should we do about the sodomite agenda. Should we allow sodomite preachers? Should we allow sodomite members? What should we do? Wringing the hands and the hair on fire, trying to pretend that they're making, trying to make a decision of what needs to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the socialist Marxist Democrats today, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Adam Schiff, and the ilk, and the going along with also the squad. All the wannabe presidents are socialist Marxist Democrats. They are all anti-Christian, anti-church, and anti-God. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says Rutgers, that's Rutgers University, a Rutgers professor tells students not to even cite the Bible in any essays because of separation of church and state. Now, that's the farthest thing from the truth, ladies and gentlemen, but it's happening on a prolific basis in our universities and our governmentally controlled schools paid for by taxpayer dollars. If my left up to me, I'd shut down every public educational institution right on from grade school through the university level if they accept federal dollars, if it's being paid for by taxpayer money, and yet they try to shut God out and shut the students out and make students that are Christian to be second-class citizens. I'm adamantly opposed to it. Says Rutgers University, New Brunswick professor, told a student that he should not quote the Bible, any Bible verses at all, in any essays because of the separation of church and state. The professor also added that the Bible may not be for everyone, and its use in academic papers may be offensive to some, including Muslims, end quote. The student, Peter Cordy, C-O-R-D-I, Cordy, cited Bible verses while writing about a friend who struggles with her homosexuality and identity in an autobiographical paper assigned to him in the Introduction to Gender, Race, and Sexuality class last semester. When he received his graded paper, he noticed the professor, her name is Kathy Sandler, had included a comment on his Bible citation, quote, avoid quoting scripture in any academic papers unless you're commenting on the scripture, end quote. Not even allowed to use a Bible quote. Ladies and gentlemen, our Democrats, one writer says, Democrats are communists waging war on our republic. Dated January the 2nd of 2020, Democrats are determined communists dedicated to overthrow our republic and to the theft of our resources, leaving us as slaves. They're already very close to stealing everything under communism, regardless of the promises there will be no support for Social Security, no support for Medicaid, Medicare, real money, police protection, food, jobs, etc. People living under communism have no rights, and there's no privacy of property. Under our Constitution, your rights are from God, and your property is secure. We must quickly kick these deadly enemies and all of their supporters out of government, put them into jail, or kick them out of the country. Make no mistake, we're very close to defeat and the loss of everything that's dear to us, including our lives. Communists have killed millions of their own people to retain power. If we do nothing to stop them, millions will die on both sides. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a pretty clearly stated, pretty dogmatically written article. But it kind of, I believe, illustrates the truth of where we're headed in the United States of America. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917. Still would like to have your input, some questions or comments about the subject that you'd like to talk about. It's kind of an open line today with bits and pieces from across America. And those things that I think the Christians should be focused on and concerned about. It's what we're doing in relationship to kicking God out of the classroom, taking the crosses out of public venues, and embracing the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and the socialist Marxist agenda and the murder by way of abortion agenda. Here's an article that says, New Jersey Middle School instructs students, Islam is the true faith. Now, in case you didn't get that title, let me pause and read it again. New Jersey Middle School instructs students that Islam is the true faith. Dateline Ann Arbor, Michigan. The Thomas More Law Center, a national nonprofit public interest law firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, filed a federal lawsuit in New Jersey District Court against several officials and teachers in the Chatham Middle School and the school district of Chatham, located in New Jersey. The lawsuit claiming several violations of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution was filed on behalf of Libby and her minor son, seventh grade student at Chatham Middle School. They were forced to endure Islamic propaganda and an explicit call to convert to Islam. It was a video that was called World Cultures and Geography Class. One of the videos linked in the process seeks to convert students to Islam and is filled with Islamic religious beliefs presented as fact to the students, as well as pure Islamic propaganda. The five-minute video ends with the prayer, may God help us all find the true faith in Islam. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it says that Allah is one God, says that Muhammad is the final messenger, and that Jesus Christ is the same as Muhammad, and it goes on and on. The propaganda video also contains express excerpts from the Quran stating that Islam is the perfected religion and the only religion for mankind, and it ends with the call of conversion, and that call of conversion is called the Shahada. Well, they pray the Shahada, which is the conversion prayer. But ladies and gentlemen, what can we expect when we have places like Virginia? Secretary of Education is a Muslim. He was born in Pakistan, sworn in on the Quran, and donates to CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and the Muslim Brotherhood. And this article says, wake up, America. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that I have stimulated your imagination, caused you to think deeply as to what this year bodes for the Christian and how we ought to respond. What we ought to do in relationship. We need to look up, lift up our hands for our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to seek God, confess our sins, and ask Him to protect our nation and to preserve our Constitution and to allow us to vote this November. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.